Hey, Under the Dome listeners, it's Dawn Vaughn. We at the News and Observer want to give you first dibs on a seat to Under the Dome Live, which is a special live recording of our weekly podcast with you as our audience in the Daniels Auditorium at the North Carolina Museum of History in downtown Raleigh. We have State Senators Natalie Murdoch, who's a Durham Democrat, and Vicki Sawyer, an Iredell County Republican, lined up as my guests. So please save the date for Tuesday, April 30th at 5 p.m. You can RSVP at underthedomelive.eventbrite.com using the code DOMELIVE. That's DOMELIVE. So we hope to see you there, and you can actually watch what we do as we're recording the podcast. For the News and Observer, I'm Capitol Bureau Chief and Under the Dome host Dawn Vaughn for this latest episode for the week of April 15th, 2024. It's tax day, so time to pony up your money for the government. And since we're talking about the government taking and spending your money, we should note that House Speaker Tim Moore told reporters they are looking already at spending an additional as much as $300 million more on the Opportunity Scholarship Program, which is vouchers for private schools. Well, we're going to talk more about what Speaker said, both about that and higher education. I'm here with Corey Dean, our higher ed reporter in our newsroom. She's also on our politics team because of how often higher education and politics intersect. So, Corey, thank you for coming back as you've been. I mean, I feel like you're on every couple of weeks or so.
Yeah, I'm not quite a series regular, but I'm a featured guest star, maybe.
All right. Featured guest star, Corey Dean of Dean's List, if you read that, which we know you do, because we actually can tell how many people read things. And we know that you all like Corey's coverage of higher education. So our case in point about the intersection of politics and education is what you've been covering about some potential legislation this upcoming session, which starts very soon, around DEI. And what I had mentioned about a minute ago was that Speaker Moore, who came for these gavel in and out sessions at the Ledge, they've been having once a month because they never officially adjourn. And so we fielded, you know, about 10 minutes of reporter questions. And he came out telling us that with a budget adjustment bill that they're going to do this year, they're looking at spending up to 300 more millions of dollars on the private school scholarships to meet the demand. I wrote about that, so you can read that at newsobserver.com. But let's move on to DEI and how you first heard about this potentially coming, what's been going on in Florida, and then I'll play a clip of what Moore said to us. So when did this come up on your radar?
Yeah, I think I've been, aware that DEI might be on the table as something legislators might target. Just if you look nationally, DEI has become a really hot button term and really hot button topic and issue. Especially in Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis, legislators enacted a ban on state spending for DEI, and that's diversity, equity, and inclusion. So just that state funds cannot be spent on offices dedicated to diversity at universities. And so, you know, Micaiah Seminara, who's actually now at AP, but was our summer intern, her and I did a project really looking at similarities between Florida and North Carolina. And, you know, North Carolina had not gone quite as far yet to ban DEI spending, but just kind of based on the similarities between the two states, thought that it, you know, might come up this legislative session or in the near future. And at the end of last month, a member of the UNC Chapel Hill Board of Trustees, Jim Blaine, who was also Senate Leader Filberger's former chief of staff, you know, the trustees were talking about budgeting for the upcoming year. And he said, you know, that he believes either the legislature or the UNC System Board of Governors might ban spending on DEI. You know, he was asking university staff to kind of be prepared for that as they're planning the budget. So that was at the end of March, and that kind of, you know, sent up a flag for me that, oh, this, you know, might be happening sooner than we thought. Moore did not seem quite as, you know, he didn't say that there was an immediate push to do something, but
let's hear what Moore said. The audio you're going to hear is right after Corey asks about the chances of this coming. So here's Republican House Speaker Tim Moore.
So we have discussed that if we're going to take up any legislation regarding DEI, and it's still at the conversation stage. We may look at legislation. We may allow, for example, with the universities where this tends to be probably the most, but kind of the most controversies brewing, allow the boards of governors and the boards of trustees and the board of governors to take a look at it first. There's no big push to immediately do something, because I think I'll speak for me on this. I think we need to make sure that there's free and open exchange of ideas at the university. Every viewpoint deserves to be heard. There shouldn't be indoctrination. There shouldn't be people made, regardless of political stripe or anything else, no one should be made to feel inferior because of their position on something. No speech should be just squelched like that. Now, if it's threat speech or anything like we've seen with some of the anti-Israeli speech that's out there, that's over the top the other way. That needs to be dealt with. That creates a hostile and a dangerous environment. But in terms of, you know, what we've seen of kind of an indoctrination, we don't need that. At the same time, if somebody has a very liberal position they want to espouse, that's fine. Let them espouse it. At the end of the day, let the students have the free exchange, but don't allow coercion of ideas and don't allow folks to be marginalized.
So beyond what he just said, if you notice, he mentions indoctrination. I was like, what do you mean by that? And other reporters had some questions. And it seems like what you were saying, that it's not necessarily going to move ahead, or maybe Moore hasn't thought about it. He kind of, you know, segued into talking about wokeness, and we're like, what are you talking about? I mean, that's obviously a vague kind of political idea, but what's really the reality of what might happen on campuses at the direction of state lawmakers?
Yeah, I think one thing to keep in mind about, you know, quote, indoctrination or wokeness, the legislature and the Board of Governors have already put into place bans on what they've called compelled speech. And that's the idea that when you apply for admission to a university or an employee faculty position at a university, hiring admissions managers can't ask you to espouse beliefs, you know, your personal political or other beliefs. And so I feel like they have made some movement on that. If they're concerned about indoctrination or wokeness, as they call it. So, you know, my question to him was, you know, well, what about funding for DEI? You know, what do you see movement on that? And he said, you know, he seemed to think that it was going to take a while, that they probably won't take it up this legislative session. Of course, that doesn't mean that there could not be a bill. I mean, any member can introduce a bill. I think, you know, Moore's comments maybe indicate that there's not full support for that, at least right now. You know, he said they want to look at it some more and figure out what to do. He also said that, you know, the university boards, they might leave it up to them to act first. So I think it remains to be seen what exactly will be introduced and what exactly will actually make it through this session.
We'll see what those first caucus meetings are like. So any of y'all Republicans listening in caucus and want to tip us off on where things are going, tips are always welcome. Let's move over to a different higher ed issue about this Foundations of Democracy curriculum. What does that mean?
Yeah, so at the UNC system level, which oversees all of the universities in the UNC system, the Board of Governors is going to vote by the time you're listening to this week on, I believe it'll be Thursday, on a requirement that all students in the system have to learn the foundations of American democracy. It's essentially a very similar version to the REACH Act, which did not pass last session. And the UNC system worked with some faculty to implement a similar but somewhat different version of that. So they're going to vote on it and it'll go into effect for 2025.
Got a question for you on that, but we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the democracy foundations. I'm going to talk about the state capitol dome in my interview with Legislative Services Officer Paul Coble, and then our picks for headliner of the week. We'll be right back. You're listening to Under the Dome. I'm Capitol Bureau Chief Dawn Vaughn, here with higher education reporter Corey Dean. Before the break, we were talking about this new curriculum, Foundations of Democracy, and legislation. And what I wanted to ask was if Representative John Hardister's resignation is maybe going to change the way things are with the higher ed committee. If you all didn't know, he ran for labor commissioner and lost his primary, Republican primary, to Luke Farley. And Hardister has resigned. So that one day session this past week that we were talking about when we talked to Moore, they were sitting in the House. You know, it's just reporters and Moore. I think Democrat Joe John, who's always there. You only need a couple people for these non-voting sessions. And it sounded like a resignation letter. And for a minute, I was sitting next to Corey and I thought, wait, is somebody resigning? And they're like, no, that's just Hardister's letter, which we already knew about. But do you think anything is like there could be any change without Hardister running the show? Because he was involved in Recheck.
I think so. I think it'll be interesting. I don't know that I have a ton of predictions. I believe Ray Pickett is still, he was a co-chair with Hardister of the Higher Ed Universities Committee in the House. Pickett is, I would say, pretty involved at the UNC system level. I mean, I see him at Board of Governors meetings, so it seems like he's interested in the topic and in what's happening, policies that the system is putting into place. And, you know, it seems like the system and the legislature are kind of in like this careful dance, I guess, of who's going to do what and who has the authority to do what with higher education. So I think it'll be interesting. I don't know if they'll appoint another co-chair or if it'll just be Pickett. So it'll be interesting.
Okay. Moving on to the talking about the building where the legislature used to meet. They meet maybe once a year, which is the historic state capitol. So the legislative services officer is Paul Coble. Anyone who works in the legislative building or the legislative office building knows who Coble is. Basically runs the show, and he's the highest paid person in the entire state employee General Assembly ranks. And recently in past budgets, the powers, which is Moore and Senate Leader Berger, have given Coble more power over more structures. And one is the upcoming demolition of the Department Administration Building. If you see that downtown with the fencing around it, and that'll be a new education campus. And then also the project of the State Capitol Dome. So I talked to Coble recently about all the different things going on, and I'll have more coverage, but I wanted to talk today in a story I already published about the Capitol Dome. So here's a clip of my conversation with Coble about what he wants for the State Capitol building, which dates, I believe, to the 1840s. So here's Legislative Services Officer Paul Coble.
Most critical thing at the Capitol was to get the roof redone and to stop the leaks. Mm-hmm. And then also to do some of the preliminary stonework to keep there being any deterioration of the stonework on the exterior of the building. Okay. There always has been some, but you know, how do you remediate that? How do you fix it? Okay. Then hopefully the next phase will start going inside and repairing some of the damage that was done by the leak of the roof. Okay. And then hopefully some further restoration of what's in there. And I would hope that that would become an ongoing project for the legislature.
So Coble is also the former mayor of Raleigh and was on the Wake County Commissioners. So he has a lot of thoughts about the city, not just his role in state government. You know, some lawmakers from across the state are here just for session and go and don't spend as much time in the city as Coble, and obviously as much as we do, since you hear from us all the time. We're here year-round, not just not just seasonal. So the dome, I never saw it anything other than the blue-green, and you haven't either.
No, right? I haven't either. Even when I was a kid, it was blue-green. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then I remember when I wrote a year ago about it changing back to the original copper color, which is like a penny, as you all know, and turning into the color of the Statue of Liberty, which happens from when it's oxidized, and some people think it's blue. No, it's green. And I think it's fair to say it's both.
Yeah, it's a bluish green, maybe a light turquoise, light teal.
And I never really thought about it because you don't always look at the top of the legislative building. until you see photos from different years and realize that it also has a copper roof, but it's just not as symbolic considering here at under the dome, we obviously use that. So anyway, the good news for people who haven't read my story yet is Coble said that some of the copper will be set aside and given to the Capital Foundation if they want to turn it into jewelry or other things, which is what happened in the past with the old dome, I guess a couple of decades ago now. And I actually have a pair of dogwood earrings made of old Capital copper. So
I was going to say that I'm sure you'll be first in line to buy whatever jewelry comes out of the old dome.
Yes. How could you not? Yeah. And Coble also, any lawmakers listening, said he's going to make y'all some sort of commemorative item. So you can look forward to that. All right. So moving on, let's go to our picks for headliner of the week. I'll start since we're talking about the state and symbols and everything. I feel like headliner of the week obviously has to be the Japanese prime minister's visit to North Carolina. That's a really big deal. You know, Governor Cooper pulled out all the stops for him and his wife. And as we're recording this on Friday afternoon, they're in the midst of more things and a fancy luncheon and everything else. So
they're also they're going to NC State University. I saw this morning. They're going to NC State. And it's the first head of state to visit NC State since like the 1950s. So
it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Another higher ed connection.
And they're also going to Museum of Natural Sciences down here. And so, all right, Corey, who or what is your pick for headliner of the week?
Headliner, very influenced by one Don Vaughn. Don has hooked our politics team on an HBO show called The Girls on the Bus, which is a nod to The Boys on the Bus of a previous decade. I'm not.
I don't 60s, know. 70s. 60s. I didn't read the book. But
I didn't
it was
either.
About all the male reporters. And this one is about women reporters.
Yeah. So I think it's loosely based on like the 2016 election, just follows a group of women reporters on a press bus going all across the country covering the presidential candidates. So I would say it's not the best show I've ever seen, but it does hook you. And I want to know what happens. So I'll continue to watch. So
yeah, it's one of those anytime anyone talks about or features a journalist, it's the journalists watch it and yell at the screen about what's wrong and occasionally what's right. And the show is no exception. And of course, we, you know, all the tropes are there and the ridiculousness, but also some things that about the job are interesting and the drama is pretty good. So
yeah, very full of tropes, but sometimes the conversations they have, it does seem like they were in our newsroom or something and they've heard conversations we've had. So
any of y'all who are watching Girls on the Bus, if you see me or Corey, come talk to us so we can both gripe and share the show, which is on, I guess, technically Max. HBO Max. Yeah. That's HBO. Come on now.
Yeah.
All right. We are out of time as we like are just days away from the legislative session. So, all right. For the News and Observer, I'm Dawn Vaughn with Corey Dean. Thanks for listening and we'll talk to you next time.
For more from our politics team, subscribe to the News and Observer at newsobserver.com/subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at Under the Dome and NC Insider, and sign up for our weekly political newsletter, also called Under the Dome, at newsobserver.com/newsletters. Thanks for listening.